This is 90.9 WBUR. I'm Sharon Brody.
Instead of investing more money in prisons, policing, and surveillance, we need to invest in education, intervention, and community partnerships, because that is what actually leads to safer and healthier and more thriving communities.
That is Suffolk District Attorney Rachel Rawlins calling for action following the conviction this week of Derek Chauvin for the murder of George Floyd. Rawlins was one of several speakers, including Acting Mayor Kim Janey, at a service at the 12th Baptist Church in Roxbury last night, organized by Reverend Willie Bodrick, who joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Sharon. How are you today?
Great. Now, the service that you held was called A Healing and Call to Action. What is the message that you hope that participants of last night's service carry forward?
The hope that we had out of bringing people together and convening virtually was to hopefully feel a sense of being heard, acknowledged. There have been a range of emotions and stress as a result of the trial and as a result of the killings that we saw even after the trial and during the trial. And there's been a lot of trauma, and we've been re-traumatized with images and videos. And our hope was for us to come together and to create a space of healing, but also to create a space of calling this to action. And I really believe speaking truth to power and speaking to the issues that people are feeling is a huge part of that. But more importantly, as people of faith, particularly in our community, we have a call to justice. And it is a biblical call that is rooted in the gospel. And we continue to do that work each and every day.
More specifically, what action are you calling for?
I think we also need to think critically about the ways in which this is systemically affecting us. We've been fighting actually all summer. We were talking about, ending qualified immunity. We were talking about working to ensure that our policies and practices and really getting at the organizational culture of policing in this city, in the Commonwealth, in the country, writ large, that there is something problematic with the culture that is looking towards and ensure that we have a process where when complaints are filed, that we are transparency is necessary, ensuring that we're doing the proper data collection and that we're actually doing the work of really reimagining what it looks like. I think what D.A. Rawlins spoke to is that we can be putting money and investments into the community aspects that we know that will help shift the dynamics of our communities writ large, and not just bolster policing as a means towards creating safe communities. Safe communities come about when people have jobs, when people have a right to access of an equitable education, when people have a healthy community around them. And that's what we're really calling for.
Well, I want to play another piece of tape from last night from your address.
And may I suggest that we're not just talking about a few bad apples, but we're going to have to uproot the tree in order to find the change in policing that we need in this country.
Now, people are proposing a range of actions regarding police, including, for example, reallocating some police funding to social services. Some argue the police simply cannot be reformed and should be abolished. So when you talk about uprooting the tree, what do you mean?
We're talking about a systemic culture that has been so pervasive that it needs to be shifted altogether. That's why people are fighting for the George Floyd bill. That's why we're asking for federal oversight and investigation of what's happening across this country into particular police departments. We need to look at to see how do we reduce complaints? How do we ensure that there is no use of excessive or deadly force? How do we make sure that we're investigating police departments and making sure that we uproot the culture? We know that there is a problematic culture across the board. We've heard about that blue wall of silence, and we know it, which is why it was so interesting and even helpful and encouraging for so many to see police officers testify against one another. However, that's not enough. We're going to have to reassess how do we deal with certain situations, emergent situations that may not need police presence. They may not need police presence at every situation. And we need to think critically about how do we reevaluate how we use policing, but more importantly, reevaluate the culture of policing, because communities need to trust those who we vested with the power to protect and serve.
Last June, at a WBUR town hall amid the protests following George Floyd's murder, you said nothing concedes to power but power. And I wonder, in the months since then, do you think that we've witnessed a meaningful change in the systems of power?
We've done some work to push those who are working in positions of power to really move forward. Even in our city, we saw the Boston Police Task Force that put forth their recommendations, and we saw action from the last administration to move towards having the oversight council, and we're doing the work to try to push forward. We saw the Massachusetts Police Reform Bill be signed, but we know that it doesn't go far enough. As we talk about power, we know where the power really is. The power is with the people.
Reverend Willie Bodrick, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Sharon. You have a blessed day.
That's Reverend Willie Bodrick from the 12th Baptist Church in Roxbury.